We're excited to be bringing you this podcast produced by our company, ADV Marketing. ADV Marketing develops high-quality and cost-effective marketing materials for a wide range of businesses. Our relationship-driven business model and customized marketing solutions makes us the perfect partner for small businesses looking to grow. I'm Sarah, Creative Director at ADV Marketing. Join me here with the rest of my team on Marketing Matters every other Monday to discuss business-to-business marketing topics. Now let's get into the episode. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Marketing Matters, a podcast where we discuss all things marketing related and how it applies to your business. I'm Sarah Roberts, Creative Director at ADV Marketing.
I'm Morgan Hutcherson, Account Manager at ADV Marketing.
And today we are talking about influencer marketing, which is very fun. You're very excited for this episode.
Yes. Okay, I feel like I just like have an obsession with influencers. Like, I don't think I'm influenced. I just think the whole like concept of somebody like promoting a product and getting paid for it and like promoting a brand is just crazy. And I think that if I hadn't fallen in love with my job at ADV Marketing, like I would be doing like influencer marketing because it's just so interesting.
That's super funny. And also I think it's funny about influencers because if you ask like any 8 or 9 year old what they want to be when they grow up, they say influencer.
I still want to be an influencer.
Yeah.
I'm like, I want to be able to just like TikTok and promote things and get things sent to me for free. Like, who wouldn't?
Yeah. And there's also this like new wave of influencers being like, this is what a job as an influencer is like. And honestly, I kind of get like, we are content creators too. It's very time consuming and it's a lot of planning involved. Yeah. And there's a lot of ways that audiences can take content for granted if it looks a certain way and they don't realize the work that goes into it. Mm-hmm. So I can see it being a really draining thing.
Yeah. And I think like now that's evolved so much because back in the day, like influencers were just celebrities and like had massive followings. And I think we'll get into it later in the episode, but like you don't have to have a huge following to be an influencer.
Yes, this is true. So let's get into it, Morgan. So first for the audience, what is influencer marketing in the conventional sense?
When you think of influencers, I feel like the first thing that comes to mind is like paid partnerships, some brands paying you or sending you their product for free for you to promote. A really good example is the Stanley Cups, right? So like a lot of moms in Utah and just moms all over the U.S. were promoting these Stanley Cups, whether they had them for free or sent to them for free or they just really liked the cup. And then that kind of like started the whole trend of everyone having a Stanley Cup. And you see that a lot with products these days, and that's what an influencer does. It just promotes some good service, idea, something, and gets people to like buy into it.
Yeah. The rise and fall of water bottle trends is a real testament to the power of marketing, in my opinion. Okay. So another part of influencer marketing is that they have to have content first. Like they have a content library built up and they've built up their audience. So their value is their audience and their connection to their audience. So that's a big part of being an influencer and a requirement for that. But what does that mean in the B2B space?
Yeah. So B2B is different because you're not really like having brands reach out to you and go like, here's a free sample of a pipeline repair kit. Promote it. It's more like the exchange of ideas and subject matter experts and being like an industry leader. And so for a lot of businesses, that's, you know, a CEO like reposting LinkedIn content and sharing their ideas. It's going to conventions and giving a speech. Like that's a B2B influencer and a really good example of one.
Yeah. And that's thought leadership too.
Yes.
So like in a lot of ways that thought leadership has been a specific part of B2B marketing. It is acting as influencer, basically. If you have built yourself up as a thought leader enough, you have the power to influence your audience because you have a certain stature in the industry. So exactly. Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, then let's talk more about B2B influencer marketing or thought leadership or whatever you want to call it. Why is something like that effective for B2B companies?
I think it really gives the company more credibility and reputability.
Yes.
Words are hard today. And it's just because, like, think about it, like, it's kind of like a review, right? Like, you go to Yelp, you look at reviews for whatever restaurant you're going to go eat at, and you're like, well, if it doesn't have good reviews, I'm not going to eat there. Think about it. If you see somebody that is interacting with a brand a lot or a company, you're, like, more inclined to, you know, look at them and like follow them, all that, especially if it's somebody that you know has a lot of connections in the industry or is a big name in the industry.
Yeah. Like has the reputation and the respect.
Yeah.
In that. With any influencer marketing, there always comes the paid promotion stipulations and the sponsored messaging rules and what you have to say or not say and all that stuff with the ads that you have. Like you have to reveal that it's a paid partnership and all that. But that's really protecting consumers from being falsely led. Mm-hmm. So that's something you have to do. But also the other part is like not all influencers will say yes to a paid partnership just because you ask.
Yeah.
It has to fit their audience if they're an influencer worth their money because they care about the connection that they've built with the audience. And if you're talking about the thought leader, I guess analogy in the B2B space, they care about their reputation. Yeah. So they're not going to stake their reputation on a bad product. Mm-hmm. So you have to make sure you have a good product first. The influencer doesn't come before that.
Yeah. When influencer marketing first started becoming a big thing with like the rise of YouTube and then it really took off with TikTok, I think that we saw a lot of influencers just accept any brand deal. Mm-hmm. And that ended up really harming them in the long run because then like some of these like small businesses that like ended up having like products that weren't good for you or like lawsuits, all that started to reflect on the influencer. And so they had to backtrack and pedal and be like, actually, like, no, I was just paid. I don't really use their product and like try and save face.
Yeah. And that's not good for their audience. And then they lose all the credibility that they've built, that they work so hard for and that they get paid for. And then they're no longer useful. So as the brand looking to facilitate an influencer relationship or a thought leadership relationship in the industry, you first have to make sure that you're offering a product worth promoting. Mm-hmm. And that should be easy to do if you have a good product. That's a big part of marketing as well, is making sure you have something worth promoting. It makes everything else fall in line. Mm-hmm. The rest is making sure you have the right network.
Yes.
And that you're reaching out and facilitating those conversations and not waiting for them to come to you. Mm-hmm. And that can look like collaboration posts. That can look like collaborative articles. What else can that look like?
Podcasts are a really easy way.
Yes, that is true, because then you can bring on guests.
Yeah.
And they can preserve reputation and credibility because they're speaking to their own experience.
Yeah. Or you can go be a guest on somebody else's podcast and promote your company. Like, there's just so many ways to exchange.
Yeah.
Like
information, product promotion. Trade conferences are also a big way to influence mass people. If you have a presentation or a report and you worked with someone on it, or you're promoting yourself as a thought leader and you're establishing yourself as an influential thought leader in the industry, that's a good way to do that. So B2B is all about influence. It's just how the conventions of influencer marketing in other industries kind of play into best practices in B2B.
And I feel in B2B, like, you don't call it, I'm an influencer.
Yeah.
It really is like, I'm an SME.
Yes. And you are influencing those around you if you are an SME. And it'd be great if you had an internal SME, too. That could add to your business's credibility. To find the right influencer for you or thought leader for you, you have to make sure that it also speaks to the audience that you want. Like, you can probably get a wide range of experts that are accessible to bring onto a podcast or into a presentation, but you have to make sure it matches with your strategy and your audience first.
I also think that if you're starting to, or you want to get started in the influencer space, there's probably somebody at your company that is already deemed an influencer by their network, by their accomplishments, their achievements, something. Usually they'll probably be higher up too.
Yeah.
And you can just like get them to start reposting things on LinkedIn and adding their thoughts, commenting, and putting you in contact with like other connections they have and build up those relationships. You don't have to immediately be like, I want to find an influencer for my company. Like, let me go DM a whole bunch of people on LinkedIn that I think might be a good fit. Like, you can start internal.
Yeah. And you should probably give your internal people the opportunity to build up their expertise, because that benefits a lot of your marketing and your company in the long run. So having that opportunity is great. Also, influencer marketing or influencing people with your expertise is also helpful for recruiting, which recruiting is a marketing function, right? Bringing in and attracting talent is a big part. And if you build up the people who work at your company, then that's a big recruiting plus. Mm-hmm. for sure. Anything you want to add before we go into our next segment about getting started? Anything that our audience should know about influencer marketing?
I guess just speaking from what I've seen the last few months, we've been really focusing on lead generation. And I think having an influencer really helps your lead generation. Like,
yeah,
they help build your brand awareness to your network and all this stuff. And I think that it helps guide people along the sales funnel, mm-hmm. and really follows that marketing qualified lead that we've talked about. I think we've done an episode pretty recently.
Yeah.
About lead generation.
It has to be, right?
Yeah. I think it was
Check
this season.
Out. Yeah. Look that up.
But that has to be somewhere. Yeah. But we talk about like having that company advocate help guide people into the sales funnel. And that's really what an influencer is doing.
Yeah. Another word for this is word of mouth, which I'm pretty sure even if you're not a marketer, you know the power of word of mouth. So that is something to think about. And in the next segment of this podcast, we're going to talk about getting started, because influencer marketing is a newer concept, mm-hmm. but thought leadership and subject matter expertise is not. So how do you work the two in B2B? We will talk about that next up. Welcome back, everyone. So we are coming back from our musical interlude, our fun little musical break, to talk about getting started with B2B influencer marketing. And even if you're not in the B2B space, influencer marketing does take a lot of effort and intention to get started with, because you really have to pick the right partners. Mm-hmm. And so it is relationship building in a way.
I would say it's picking the right partners and then knowing your niche. And we kind of talked about that in the last episode with podcasting. Like, mm-hmm. anything you do, like, you can't just expect to like cover everything.
Yeah.
And be like the most popular. Like, you're going to have most success if it's your little niche. If you're like, I'm really good at like integrity in the pipeline sphere, then like that's your niche and that's what you're going to like influence, is like integrity.
Yeah.
Companies.
Because then you can speak to it well and your audience engages with it and it matches your brand and all the good things with marketing. So first, let's step back and just think about whether or not influencer marketing is right for a brand. What are the criteria we have to think about when we're deciding whether or not to engage in influencer marketing?
I think brand awareness is one of the big things that come to mind. Like, are you wanting to have more people know about your brand?
Yeah.
And will an influencer help you reach that goal? Do they have a network that it's worth sharing to? And is that network going to match your ideal consumer profile?
Yeah. Or if you have a rather complex product or one that requires a lot of engagement from the client to implement, mm-hmm. it is nice and reassuring to your prospective clients when there's someone else that's like, this is worth it. There is value in this. This is how I use it. Like, kind of illustrating mm-hmm. how it can be implemented, which a lot of times B2B products are just more complicated in general.
Yeah.
So having that second voice and that expertise kind of interlaced in there is really helpful, especially if it's a third party voice.
Yeah. Or like, and some companies will have like an internal spokesperson mm-hmm. that will share short-term videos on them, educate that way. But a third party is even better.
Yeah. So you've decided that you want to do influencer marketing in the B2B space, or and you want to engage that tactic in your strategy. How do you start and how do you find the right one?
Yeah. I really just say start with the company.
Yeah.
And just going back to idea, like, there's probably somebody internally that can at least start sharing and adding those thoughts. And
yeah. Employee advocacy.
Yeah. And like that, just, we always see that help people's LinkedIn so well and like grow followers, grow engagement rate. All that. So that's a good way to start. And then for like external, I would say like think about your own network and who already is supporting your company and maybe just isn't as vocal about it in other forms of media.
Yeah. Who do you just need to put on a platform?
Yeah.
Who do you need to give to a megaphone to mm-hmm. say what they're already saying, but in a really effective way that mm-hmm. reaches a lot of people? Also, you mentioned the employees. all you have to do is go to like an industry networking event and find out that employees do not operate in a microcosm of the company that they work for. They have previous companies that they've worked mm-hmm. for. They have networks from past coworker relationships. They have other experience that they can leverage in being the advocate that's not just in your company. Like yeah. they have a reputation outside of where they're working now that they can leverage. So those are easy, low-hanging fruits. The next level up, I think, is looking for the other thought leaders that have a bigger reputation and a bigger following, if that's right for what you want to do. And that's building relationships like you build relationship in business development. Mm-hmm. That's a part of business development, making sure you have that relationship of trust established mm-hmm. so that you can say, like, you can even ask them for feedback on the product, and that's an opportunity for honest feedback from the market. And then if they like your product and they end up using it, then that customer relationship can become an influencer relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you get like testimonials and all yeah. sorts of content from that. It doesn't have to just be somebody resharing something.
Yeah, and that's leveraging your currently existing partnerships. Mm-hmm. And that's building out the advocacy part of the consumer funnel, which we actually don't talk about all that much, but this definitely fits into that.
Yeah.
The funnel doesn't end with the sale. It actually is kind of a circle because it goes back, because once they become an advocate for your brand, they're educating other customers. Yeah. So it's just constantly feeding in.
A funnel's just more pleasing to illustrate.
Yeah. Easier to put on paper.
Yeah.
But we always say, like, no customer journey is actually linear. It actually bounces around a lot and it actually never ends. Like, there's mm-hmm. no end point to the B2B relationship side.
Yeah.
So stuff to think about if you're looking into influencer marketing. It's not easy or an immediate know-how. It's definitely leveraging the relationships that you have and finding out what works for your brand mm-hmm. is most authentic to your brand. And it has to be authentic to you and your chosen influencer / thought leader.
Yeah. I feel like as humans, we're so good at like picking out when somebody's being inauthentic. Mm-hmm. And like, if on TikTok, if you see somebody promoting something and you know they don't actually use it, like the comments are filled with people saying like, you don't actually use this, like yes. stop lying.
Yeah.
So just be authentic.
Yeah. And how fast do you scroll past the little paid promotion tagged videos? Yes. So that's also like an immediate flag that it's inauthentic. But if you leverage influencers the right way, it can boost adoption, education, all the good things when you're mm-hmm. looking to promote your product or your service.
And I'd also say like the companies that do build up that influencer network mm-hmm. and have people promoting their brand, I feel like they're more known in mm-hmm. the sphere, and they just like give off a more successful,
trusted
look that makes you kind of like, even if you're like, I don't fully know if like I need their services, but I'm going to keep them in my mind more than like a smaller company that doesn't have that presence of influencers.
Yeah. It's that trust and credibility, mm-hmm. which is so often we've talked about this total backbone of B2B marketing and sales. So an essential topic for sure, especially nowadays and as ubiquitous as digital media is nowadays, there's always going to be influencers associated with that and how much content we're producing. You can leverage other third-party content or other thought leadership content for your brand. Mm-hmm. Okay, Morgan, that was a good episode. Everyone out there, be sure to subscribe and rate our podcast. And we will see you again in the next 2 weeks with our next topic, which I can't remember what our next topic is.
I thought this was the last episode of the
episode. No, I think there's one more. Stay tuned. Maybe we have one more episode. We'll see y'all later.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.